I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, it's me, Dave Clifton, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Lucky people. I'm just hanging in there.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Football Ramble.
Ow!
And I think we can all agree that three's company, but four's a ramble!
Oh, hello.
James on Jim's back.
I'm back, hello.
Oh.
I'm back. I'm like,
let
when
me
did
touch
he
your face.
Said that time when he hadn't been at Chelsea that long and really hadn't earned.
Oh, yeah, right, and then he scored.
Yeah.
Marvellous. How are you, pal?
I'm good. I'm back. I've been really ill, and I'm ill again, so you'll notice my huskier tones usual. But yeah, no, Edinburgh was amazing. It was a lot of fun. I had flu in the first week, also our shower broke, and the light bulb in the bathroom broke as well, so I had to wash myself out of a sink in the dark, go and do gigs with flu, and then find a shower afterwards.
Is it like being back in Essex?
As miserable as I've ever been, so yes.
Are you the hero that Bonnie Tyler was waiting for?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've literally just come back from Edinburgh, right? And as I got off the train...
Today?
As I got off the train, it was about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago, right? Got off the train, another train had pulled in as well, and Anton Ferdinand, right, had got off that train, and was with his mates, and they were... I can only really describe this as failing to understand how to get out of the station. And Anton Ferdinand just went, I need to go toilet first. like a giant baby.
Right, and no one told him there's toilets on the train.
Yeah, there are, of course. And So I went up to the toilet as well. And initially I saw he was behind me. I thought, I'll see what happens, if I can get a picture of his bits, blackmail him later. Yeah. And he just never came into the toilet. So obviously he failed to find that as well.
Start weeing in the sink. Oh, go toilet now.
I think he was going to go in the toilet, but then he saw you and thought, that looks like a man who would take pictures of my bits. Yeah. I'm not going in there.
He's an astute man. Also, I met quite a lot of listeners in Edinburgh who were lovely to a man.
God bless.
And one of them, okay, I swear it's absolutely true, said to me, Marcus is gay, right?
Oh!
And I said no.
I've got to have sex with men now.
And he went, he's very, very camp though, isn't he?
Well,
which I enjoy.
I think I agree with
that a lot. Ironic, because you're quite homophobic.
That's not true, listeners.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
We're a little bit gay, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, it's a prerequisite if you want to join the ramble. I'll continue the introductions, James. Luke Moore.
If we've got any time left.
Luke Moore's right. Here.
Hello, all right.
And the incredibly manly Pete Donaldson.
Hello. You can be manly and gay, Marcus.
Yeah. So I never said you weren't. how's your biscuit? All right.
It's very nice, thank you, Marcus.
Right, opening question. Did that to get a few more man points.
Yeah, good.
In the recent game, Wolves versus Newcastle, in Wolverhampton, there was a lovely battle between Carl Henry and Joey Barton. I think we can all agree. That's inspired the opening question, which is... A memorable battle on the pitch.
On pitch dispute.
A one-on-one, whether that would be, technique, perhaps a defender against a striker, or just a bad-tempered display.
Or a good old-fashioned midfield tear-up.
Indeed.
Luke, would you fancy first?
I'll go first, and I shall name... Fernando Torres.
Yes.
Against Nemanja Vidic.
Good one.
Where Vidic is otherwise a pretty competent defender.
He's class.
Very good. Yeah, very good. Great defender. Man. You know, strong. Reads the game well.
Level-headed.
Until Torres gets on the pitch, Peter.
Yeah.
And he hates him, doesn't he?
Maybe fancies him.
Yeah.
It's understandable. And, well, coincidentally, that's why I brought it up.
But, I prefer Torres with his blonde long
hair. I do, yeah, he's not saying that, is it? But I just think for some reason the Vidic's brain gets replaced with something else and he can't do anything and he ends up just being all over the place. So it's one of those things, and the reason it's an interesting one is because it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
The more it happens, the more it's going to happen.
That's right.
It's interesting as well, because when you get a sort of a battle like that, a lot of the time where one player absolutely skins another, it tends to be that there's just a huge gulf in class, like sort of Drogba and Senderos would be a good example of that. Vidic is obviously a very, very good player as well, and it's just baffling.
It is weird, isn't it? Yeah. I suppose it's just not strictly true to the question, because it's not a real battle, but it's an interesting sort of coming together of players and how they both deal with it.
I think it is a battle. Pete?
I enjoy Carl Henry, and his name reminds me of sort of a 70s blaxploitation cop.
Carl Henry here.
Yeah.
But no, I'm going to go for the Ian Wright, Peter Schmeichel.
Oh, good.
Battle.
Can I call that a feud?
It was a feud.
It was a bit of a feud.
Yeah.
Ian sort of played. They just didn't get on, did they?
No.
And it got a bit dirty off the field, sort of.
Do you remember the origins of it?
No, I don't actually.
It was at Old Trafford, and somebody put Ian Wright through, and he chased after this ball.
Right.
And Schmeichel came out and slid and caught it, and Wright left his boot in there.
Yeah.
And to be fair, it was a dangerous piece of play from Ian Wright, and Schmeichel got up and gave him a piece of his mind.
Which would be scary.
Yeah. It's like a tree showing at you.
With that weird sort of like Mancunian Danish.
Oh, yeah. Like a Jan Mulby style.
Well, Jan Mulby's the.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
I'm going to smack your head in, then have some licorice. Licorice up there.
Of course they do. Mm. That went on for quite a while, and then there was the time at Highbury when the ball went through again and Ian Wright chased after it, and Schmeichel and Ian Wright went
and
in
you could hear everyone rubbing their hands together. What's going to happen this time?
They went in for a tackle together and the ball burst.
Just from the aggression in the air.
Yeah. It didn't want to be part of it.
That is incredible.
Technically speaking, that means the game must end.
Yeah. Right.
Not just the football game, but the whole sport.
That's right. But we saw.
There were racist undertones, because Ian Wright definitely said at one point that Schmeichel, I don't know if that was proven or not, but he definitely said that Schmeichel abused
Have you seen that band? The racist undertones.
Harking back to the Joburg video there, ladies
Shut
and gentlemen.
Shut up, yeah?
Just setting the scene.
We could have used that joke twice, they didn't know.
Well, they have to know everything, Pete.
Indeed. On Ian Wright as well, it's an interesting point that he'd never actually managed to score past Schmeichel.
That's right.
So Schmeichel really got the last laugh there, I think.
Ha-ha!
Although they were both in the same studio when England beat Denmark 3-0 at the World Cup, and Ian Wright had a little bit of a...
I bet Wright were claiming that.
Yeah.
Did he just, like, kick him in the chest?
I bet Wright was being unbelievably tedious.
They did make up, though, didn't they? I think Peter Schmeichel wrote to him, or maybe faxed him as footballers.
It would have been a fax.
And, as I say, they were in the same studio. They get on fine now, I'm pretty sure.
Mm.
James, what have you got?
Well, I'm going to go for an absolute saga, which would be Roy Keane against Patrick Vieira.
Of course.
Because they just used to kick each other at every opportunity. Just, like, in the tunnel.
That's an odyssey. That's amazing. If they saw each other in the street, there would have been a fight, actual fight.
Yeah, no, they hate each other even now, like, really, because they still have pops at each other when people bring it up. But obviously, they always talk about how they respect the other as a player. But clearly, just they rub each other up the wrong way. And there's an incident. Roy Keane got a lot of people really love that he said this to Vieira. He's like, "Oh, you're always going on about Senegal. Well, why don't you go and play for them then?" And I think Vieira's response was like really underrated. It's like, "Well, at least I didn't walk out on my country."
Yeah,
but two like proper tough men really like kicking lumps out of each other verbally and then going out to play a football game and do it for real.
But didn't he say, "If you love Senegal so much, why don't you play for them?"
Yeah.
And I thought Patrick Vieira said, "Well, if you love Ireland so much, why don't you play for
them?"
The thing is, they're both
Vieira
at the top of their game. They're both decent players. Yeah. One of them's like a clodder or something.
That's right.
Vieira also did say as well that, you know, Roy Keane isn't from Africa, you know, so he doesn't understand, which is really condescending.
He's not from Africa.
Really obvious.
Shocked me as well.
Stick up your African bollocks.
Yeah. you know that as well, that balled over into a tunnel incident once where
that's right, at Highbury.
Vieira had a little pop at Neville.
Gary
Neville.
Yeah. You're always having a go at him.
Just
little Neville.
Yeah,
there you go. Hammered it down the tunnel. Yeah. Any excuse to get involved. It's like Gary Neville's 30 years old. I mean, he used to get up for
Roy Keane. Roy Keane. Yeah, he was saying like you're picking on you're picking on the small guy or something. You're picking on
the guy to even grow a moustache properly.
Why don't you pick on me? And I can remember Dennis Bergkamp coming up to Patrick Vieira because Vieira then walked away, and Bergkamp was, because this was all live on the TV. This was, it was great stuff. And Bergkamp was like arm around Vieira and Shaw, you're alright, you okay? Yeah. I was like, bloody hell, this is unbelievable. Yeah.
You don't see enough Tunnel stuff anymore.
Yeah, I miss Arsenal being a bit tasty like that.
The ref actually said, leave it for the field, lads, leave it for the field.
I'll send you off and you can go back down the table.
Can referee, you know, you can, like, referees can send players off after a football match. Can they send them off before the football match?
I think they can technically send them off when they're on the premises. Because I know that, I mean, there's talk of people getting sent off in the car park after the stuff, you know. So.
Yeah. I'm going to go for one. Well, it's a bit tame now after all that. But this is more of a battle of the skills, of the techniques, which is Ashley Cole versus Cristiano Ronaldo.
That's a good one. It's a different one.
In the Euro 2004 that's right. match, Cole just had him in his pocket.
That's right.
It's an incredible performance from him.
I mean, Cole really does a job on Cristiano Ronaldo for my money, more often than not. And I can remember a time actually at Old Trafford when Chelsea went there, and it may have ended 1-1. I can't quite remember, but this was when Ashley Cole, I think, first started going with Cheryl Tweedy, Cole, however she was known then.
Called Cheryl Cole before she was married to
That would have been odd.
It would have been. Yeah. And the fans were giving Ashley Cole a bit of stick and all the sort of usual chants and whatnot. And then Cole started pointing. Cristiano was walking off and Cole was looking at the Man United fans, pointing at Cristiano Ronaldo and like sort of putting his hand in his pocket as if to say, hey, I've got him in my pocket. which he did again in that game.
So what you like about Ashley Cole, he's a good bloke.
Indeed.
Nearly agreed.
Indeed. It's a tricky one. Roy Keane, Patrick Vieira. Jim's got the points.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Well done, James. Straight in.
You got to ease
it
back in.
Well done, Pat and Roy.
If you like Edinburgh, why don't you live there?
It's an invalid.
Seriously, it is a nice city.
It's where I grew up, isn't it? Yeah. A little bit of background on me. Right. England's squad has been announced.
Yes.
And David Seaman's not in it.
Sean Wright Phillips is, though.
Well, we're coming
almost as oddly.
There is a notable moustache in there, isn't there?
Yeah. Goalkeepers, Carson Foster Hart.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Hart sounds will like play. A sort of solicitor's firm.
Yeah, it does.
Good.
I mean, to be honest, that's not very much depth. But Joe Hart's a good keeper, so
Foster's all right.
Joe Hart's surely just the number one now.
Joe Hart could be the number one for the next 10 years.
I think you're right. Yeah. If he can stay fit, I think he could be. Yeah.
Unless you get your act together, James or Jim.
Yeah. Indeed. I've been a bit unfair on Sean Wright Phillips. I think he has had a good few weeks, actually. I think he's played all right.
We're on the keepers at the moment.
Sorry.
We've still got to go through defenders.
Okay, go ahead. Are you doing it in a traditional way? Are you fair enough?
Yeah. Well, we're just... defenders, Gary Cahill, Ashley Cole, Michael Dawson, Kieran Gibbs, Phil Jagielka, Glenn Johnson, Julian Lescott, Matthew Upson.
Light.
The scorer of the goal against Germany.
It's a light defence.
Upson, for me, is one that shouldn't still be getting picked because he's not going to be choice.
He's not going to get any faster, is he?
He's very much a sort of like a deputy at best. So why have him there?
So who's going to play at the back then? Is it going to be Dawson and Upson? Or is it with Dawson and Jagielka?
Maybe even?
All the sons.
I mean, I've been crying out for some fresh players to get a game, so I can't complain. If that's the best we got, then fine. We'll have to deal with it, won't we?
There's the opinion we've all been holding out for. It does feel odd to not have big names like John Terry and Rio Ferdinand in there.
Yeah.
It's a bit like being sort of
obviously injuries are the reason why they're not there.
Do you know what it's like? It's a bit like walking to school on your own for the first time. You know, you haven't got the hand holding of Rio Ferdinand, John Terry, but once you get like 5 minutes into the walk away from them, you actually quite like it.
Yeah,
because it's fine. They'll be all right. The defenders will be okay. Yeah. The teams they're playing aren't great. They've not got to play against Berbatov, have they? So it'll be fine.
Which would be the worst team talk before the match. Midfielders: Gareth Barry, Michael Carrick, Stephen Gerrard, Adam Johnson.
Yes.
Good.
James Milner, Theo Walcott, Sean Wright Phillips, Ashley Young.
I'm delighted Ashley Young's getting.
You're a big fan of Ashley Young.
Well, I just think, obviously, like, he's
good player.
He is inconsistent, maybe, you could argue, but I would just like to see him get a run at international level, because certain players, you know, they perform more for their country than they do for their clubs, and it brings out the best of them, and clearly when Ashley Young is on his game, he's a great player. Yeah. So,
well, the word inconsistent does have the word consistent in it, so I think we'll take that over. Theo Walcott certainly
He started very well, hasn't he?
The net ripping Theo Walcott.
He got a lot. He got a bit of stick from Hanson, didn't he, last week? We didn't mention that.
Hanson did sort of.
I think it's fair enough. It's fair comment. Yeah, that's his opinion for
it. It's true. He picks out examples from that game, and Walcott does do that. Walcott himself sort of, you know, has said he needs to improve. He knows he needs to improve. He's got to work on certain things. So, you know. I think it's all been blown out of proportion, really.
I agree with that. I mean, I think
he's 21. Remember
exactly as Alan Shearer said, he's 21 years of age.
Well,
he's 21 years. He just kept saying it.
But was the only stay.
One of the things we've got to be careful of. So we can't just sort of sit here every week and say match of the day's mundane. It's rubbish. It's boring. And then when a pundit actually does give an opinion that's a bit controversial, we'll go, oh, we can't say that.
We're not that harsh on match of the day, are we?
I mean. But generally, I love
match of the day. People makes me feel safe and warm.
Yeah, I think we all agree with that. But I mean, there's definitely a movement saying that match of the day is mundane and it needs to step its game up and stuff.
Yeah.
And whether you agree with the opinion that Alan Hansen gave or not, it's at least surely a good thing that he gave an opinion and someone we can talk about and actually sort of, you know, say, well, is that fair, is it unfair? And like you say, he backed it up with examples and said why.
It's an analysis of Walcott while they're talking about him, you know, because Lineker would say, oh, it's harsh, obviously, he's just scored a hat-trick. But, you know, that's what that analysis is about. They're looking deeper into Theo Walcott as a player rather than just on that performance.
And it's better than the ha-ha laughter fest of Match of the Day 2, which seems to be just going for gags at the moment.
Should we all be mates? We'll just be mates.
Should we just not bother with this set? Just do it down the pub. Just dick around a bit.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, one thing I love, right, is hanging out with the lads. If there was like a TV show like that with some football on it, brilliant.
Yeah,
blimey. On behalf of the great British public, thank you, Alan Hansen.
Yeah,
for that opinion. Forwards in the England squad: Darren Bent, D. Ben. In there, Carlton Cole, Peter Crouch, Jermaine Defoe, Wayne Rooney.
I don't get Carlton Cole.
No.
He's not very good. This is the bottom line.
But he's English.
I think that's harsh. And I think that if he had a move to another club. The problem is with Carlton Cole, you've got two ways of looking at it. One is he needs support. So this season, he's been quite isolated at West Ham.
He's had a lot of injuries.
But the other point of it is you can't hold the ball up.
That's what he's for, isn't
it? That's what I'm saying. But you can't complain about not having no one around him when he can't control the ball well enough to hold the ball up for long enough for people to come into the game, isn't it?
I just think he's got some talent in there, but it just comes out so, not so rarely, but far too rarely for someone to be playing international football.
I think if Carlton Cole was playing for a better side, I think he would score much more often. And we would see, as you say, Luke, the holding up the ball is a quality of his. And if he had other players around him who he could bring in to play more, then I think
I can't decide whether that is the case.
Stripes would be earned more.
Yeah, but I can't understand if that is the case or not. I don't know whether he's just not good enough to hold the ball up well enough to bring other people in, or whether he's being let down by his teammates at West Ham, is what I'm saying. It's definitely one of those two things. Mm. I'll get back to you.
Thanks, man. So that's the England squad, ladies and gentlemen.
So we're going to win the Euros with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously, Lampard's injured. That's why he's not in there. And Bobby Zamora is injured
as
well.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Oh, that's really bad. That's unfortunate for him, that is.
Yeah. It's not. I'm sure he'll get another chance.
Yeah, he will do, yeah.
He needs to repeat his league form from last year. That's what I need to see from him.
Well, he's already got himself a goal, hasn't he? So.
Yeah. Ashley Young. I'd like. Let's talk about the Premier League then. Going on to Aston Villa. Ashley Young setting up Luke Young for a lovely goal. I did like what Martin Tyler said when that goal went in. Young played it in Young. He scored. He went, oh, and the Young Ones or something. You know.
Good. Any Young Ones reference is welcome.
Yeah, that's right.
I've seen McDonald says he says that he's not sure whether he wants the job or not. It's not up to you, and you're out of Europe and you lost 6-0 last weekend.
Yeah.
And you scraped a 1-0.
Don't go to an interview saying that. So why do you want the job? Not sure if I do, really.
Yeah.
I don't do a lot.
I'm just here for a bit of interview technique experience. Good win for Villa. Are fourth. Two wins out of three. It's so funny having been battered 6-0. Oh, blimey. All Brighton's a good player, isn't he?
Yeah, another good performance. Talent. Definitely.
Torres is off the mark.
Yeah.
Liverpool beat West Brom 1-0.
It wasn't convincing, though.
No.
Well, they've had a rough time, haven't they? The City results, real.
Yeah.
That's going to be a worry for them, and for everybody, really.
Yeah.
They did go through in Europe, though.
They did. And as, win, like I say, it's going to take a while. There's so many comings and goings, and Hodgson's obviously a new manager there. For one week, he's got Mascherano off, then he's signed another player, signed Poulsen, he's just signed Raul Morales as well, which I think is a good signing. Yeah.
He's gone back for Konchesky, isn't he?
Yeah.
He said he wasn't going to...
Yeah, that's right. He said he wasn't going to go in for any Fulham players. And he's gone in for Konchesky.
Konchesky's surely not good enough for Fulham. I mean, he's a solid player, but
for Liverpool, you mean?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Oh, I think he'll do all right. I think Konchesky's decent.
Do you know what I think? I think that, you know, people will be quick to say, "Oh, man, Liverpool, Konchesky can't play for them," and stuff like that. Yeah. My action would be, surely what's been missing for Liverpool over the last couple of seasons has been solid 7 out of 10 every week.
Yeah,
for four or 5 months.
Yeah, I think he'll provide.
And Konchesky's one of those players. Mm. You know, he won't get injured that often. He'll play and he'll be solid. He's not going to win a game for you very often, but he won't let anyone down.
No, I think
and who knows him more than anybody else?
Well, exactly.
Absolutely. Big boy. Roy was an uncharacteristic like attack on Mascherano, saying he's selfish. He said, "It's not easy for me to defend the actions of Mascherano because professionals are paid to play, and when they are called on to play, they play."
It should be no surprise. I remember what Mascherano was like when he was at West Ham. He just didn't want to be there. He didn't try. He couldn't get in the team because he wasn't trying hard enough in training.
Ahead of Mullins. Hayden Mullins was keeping him out of the team for a good amount of time. Hayden Mullins scored an own goal for Pompey at the weekend. You know, I don't like to blame players for own goals. I do make the occasional exception. Really? And speaking of own goals, John Panzer was a beauty.
Oh yeah, amazing. Yeah.
He wasn't even facing that way.
No, he had his head in his hands before it even hit the net.
Yeah, he did. Like, do you remember in the Champions League final '99 when United won in dramatic fashion?
Yeah.
And Bayern Munich's Sami Kufur.
Yeah.
Was punching the ground.
Yeah.
Pantsil sort of did that. He was sort of doing that, going, like someone.
Both gone in.
Yeah, but exactly, there's your link.
Thank you.
there's your link you're waiting for.
Yeah. That you've already done.
Yeah. I was, staying with Liverpool, I was going to say that there's been talks. Gary Medel, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but he's a Chilean international, playing for Boca Juniors, and his agent claims he could be Mascherano's replacement at Liverpool. I hope so, because.
It's a huge blow for them to lose Mascherano.
Well, I hope they get him, James, because his nickname is the Pitbull.
Yes.
But they've just signed Raul Morelli, so they won't be signing him as well.
The Pitbull.
Oh, yeah, well. Fair enough.
Say it again, yeah.
Andy Carroll scored again for Newcastle.
Yeah, with his head. I was having a pop at him last week, saying that he can't head a ball.
Why is he not in the England
squad?
Check
you out, Big Ron.
he whips at him with his hair.
It's clearly taking style advice from old Gutierrez, isn't he? Really, it's nice to have two samurais on the pitch.
Yeah, his hair's like a brown-haired version of Emmanuel Petit.
Yeah,
Petit's was a bit thicker, I think.
Yeah,
Mick McCarthy did my nut in this week.
Yeah, you're annoyed.
He really did. We made a couple of good signings this week, actually. Ben Arthur and I can't remember his bloody name now for the Ivory Coast.
You'll probably.
It's Tiotor.
Probably getting a Champions League this season,
yeah? Yeah, no doubt, undoubtedly. But that Ben Arfa is a decent signing. Cause
that's a great signing.
If we need one man who just runs at players, and he does, and that's all he does, really.
Real fault.
The problem is, he's like, he doesn't ever feel like playing.
Yeah.
Ben Arfa, he's got disciplinary problem.
We'll get the first 2 weeks out of him, though.
Are you saying that Newcastle United are about to buy a disruptive player?
Apparently so.
At the same time, though, looking at them as a club that have just been promoted from the Championship, that's a huge signing.
Yeah.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Well, he appears to be like kicking around a bit of money now, which is weirdly. I don't know where this. I know it's only a season long loan, but he's just looking at cost dollar.
It's funny, though, at Newcastle, that, as you say, James, newly promoted side, they look as though they're bang straight back in the Premier League.
And that's what they've experience. They've got players like Kevin Nolan,
very
obviously
true.
Gutierrez.
Joey Barton.
He's an international as well. Joey Barton, yeah.
We look organised for the very first time. The start of last season, we looked a little bit, we might struggle here, but I mean,
if you look at the other two sides, you know, West Brom and Blackpool, you know, they look like newly promoted sides, whereas Newcastle.
That's a decent point away at Wolves, because they look like a Premiership side.
They're just well set up, Wolves, and at home that was a great battle between Henry and Barton, and then everyone else got in involved. It was a bit harsh, because at the moment Barton put a challenge, he got booked straight away, didn't
he?
That was the first time.
Reputation's gone ahead.
Exactly. I generally think that tends to be a bit of an excuse, but that for me that was definitely the case.
To be fair to Barton, he got on with it, didn't he?
Oh, he did. Yeah.
He didn't.
Wolves only had one shot on target in the score with it.
We
had about four or five, but I mean, Shaw Ramiobi in particular had the most hilarious 10 minutes. I've ever seen. Like, you know my feelings about the man.
Well, even for him,
he came on and he willfully disrupted the match. he willfully just strayed offside all the time. Yeah. Every time there was a ball, he was too far. He'd knock players over. He was like he was drunk. It was wonderful. I've never seen anything like it.
Did the manager say in his ear? Like, did he point up to the crowd before he came on and went, "Ruin it for them"?
Yeah.
Or maybe they were trying to get the best out of him in whatever way. So Shola, today we're going to try it by getting you drunk first. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you remember when William Gallas said he would start scoring own goals if he didn't let him move from Chelsea.
I don't think he actually said that, but
you know what, that's what Amiobi's probably done that. Well, if you're not going to let me do this, and I'm going to do this.
It was a wonderful performance.
There was one particular challenge on Barton by Henry, which was like, it actually made me laugh out loud. It was like, whoa. Yeah, which is complete. So Barton, and you knew it was coming, so you saw it, and then you saw the replay, and obviously he got the ball and turned, and you knew it was coming. Yeah. And the ball turned before he even knew where he was. Bang.
But Barton seemed resigned to it by that point.
He was laughing when he was on the floor.
Yeah.
With the smelling salts on, he was laughing.
He was being a real dick, that fella.
Oh, well, there you go.
There we are. Blackpool got their first home goals in the Prem. Their second. Now, I don't want to be all sort of Sky Sports and hype. Goal of the season. Their second goal, Varney's goal, was a beauty.
Yeah, it was.
The move right from the back, the passing slotted through. Great, wonderful scene.
They just seem giddy, don't they? Yeah. Blackpool. They're just so happy to be.
It was great to see Holloway's celebration. He couldn't believe it. He's like, that's the what training ground. That was it.
anyone else like a little bit disappointed that the first ever Premier League goal that Blackpool scored was an own goal?
It was an awful own goal.
Especially because it would have been. It was Ormerod, wasn't it, that had it down?
And
he would have
people.
Been the first Blackpool
player
to score in all divisions.
Yeah. Oh, would he?
He was a mile offside, but like.
Oh, yeah.
There was a couple of notable on goals this weekend, wasn't there? There's quite a few.
Noggies?
Noggies?
Notable on goals.
Notable on goals.
Wow. Nogbers. Nogbiers.
Also, in Blackpool Fulham game, that Dembele who signed for Fulham was a player. He set up.
That was a great pass.
What a setup.
Yeah,
that was.
Pass,
and then a brilliant finish as well, because he played for.
Altmar
under Van Gaal. He was a good player for them. But yeah, he looks like the right steel.
I haven't had the term set up since I was about 10.
Is that right?
Set me up.
Yeah. In Scotland, they'd always shout, like, if the striker was on the shoulder of the last man, he'd go, send me!
There's a guy I used to play with who played up front, and he used to shout, slot me.
Okay. Slot me.
It's a bit odd. Yeah, I didn't really like it.
I quite like slips. but they never do, ladies and gentlemen. Right, let's move on to the Championship. A wonderful injury time comeback from Queen's Park Rangers away to Derby County.
Yeah, if you're talking about hatchet men, Savage did a job onto that. He left everything on him.
That's a good player.
Great player. Yeah, probably the best player in that division.
You said that before.
Well, yeah. I mean, Redknapp said at one point that he was the best player they had at Spurs, wasn't he? And this has come from Tarab himself, but he said like he still has contacts from like Barcelona and Milan and stuff like that. He's that highly rated.
Oh. He's still got in his head. That's basically it.
Well, he's wrong
in the head.
Oh, is he?
But he's clearly a very, very talented player. I remember seeing him at Spurs. Like he rarely played, didn't he? But I remember him coming on against Arsenal and looking really, really dangerous once. It's funny, isn't it? How it's not
worked out for him.
Yeah, it's
he's honestly. Whenever I've seen him play, I think he's an excellent player. And there are players, you know, Craig Bellamy's one of the best players in the division.
Yeah. I think Craig Bellamy was one of the best players in the Premier League last season. It's incredible for Cardiff. I'm sure you guys have discussed this, but it's just unreal. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Also, David Nugent as well.
Lest we forget. D-Nug.
He murked Edgar Davies last week in the Carling Cup.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
Let's not go over.
Let's talk about it again.
Reconstruct the murder.
I come back and all this weird stuff's happened. Like, Gallas is at Spurs, Davies is at Crystal Palace, Phil Mitchell's on crack. What's going on?
David just playing left back for Palace as well.
Seriously?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Another great comeback in the Football League. It was in League One. Bournemouth 3, Notts County 3. Another injury time. Two goals. Mm. Wow. Injury time from Notts County.
So it was 3-1 down Notts County, weren't they?
That's right. Rather than...
the maths.
I mean, QPR, their point kept them top. Notts County, 18th.
Yeah, what a job Eddie Howe's doing, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm. So he's gotten promoted.
Yeah.
And they're flying high again.
Yeah, for Bournemouth, yeah.
You know, if the thing is, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, I'm sure, but obviously Pardew's left Southampton. I'd be straight in there for Howe.
I think Howe's come out and said that he wants to stay with Bournemouth as long as he can.
I think that would be a sensible thing for Howe to do. To take Bournemouth as far as he can go, and then another little natural step up. You know, because he's such a good manager, such a young age. You don't want him thrown in at the deep end anyway, because that can ruin him, as you say, James.
Yeah. Why take Pardew out now after a 4-0?
Oh yeah, they want to wait a week. Rovers.
Nicola Cortesi is a despotic, totalitarian dictator. That's why.
Pardew out.
You were going to say Nicola Sarkozy.
I think people should chant when they want Pardew in. All of the times he should be out. But then when you actually want him in, that's the only time you like to chant about it.
The craziest thing.
Pardew in.
The craziest thing about it is that Cortesi tried to get rid of Pardew before this.
Yeah.
And Marcus Lieber, the guy who sadly died, who rescued Southampton from financial ruin, who basically bankrolled the club, he stopped it. He said, "Listen, no, you're not doing this. It's crazy." As soon as Marcus Lieber's died, and there's loads of sports news happening, so Cortese can bury the news amongst other things. He just sacked him.
Yeah.
And apparently, there's all sorts of talk of Cortese just hiring coaching staff, bringing them along to the training ground, and saying, "Right, yeah, there's a new coach." And Pardew was like, "Well, I've got coaches," and he refused to work with them. Yeah. And so that's where it's all come from.
Yeah, yeah.
So now Cortese, the reason they won't hire someone like Eddie Howe, or even someone like, there was talk of O'Neill going there because they've got a lot of money to Southampton. But the reason that won't happen is because Cortese clearly just wants a yes man there to do his bidding. So it's a really, really. It comes back to the old sort of fit and proper persons thing again, because he's a bit of a shit.
Yeah.
it's interesting when you look at clubs like Southampton and QPR. They have a lot of money that are down in the Championship and lower leagues. When these new rules come in, and you can't sort of spend like a maniac anymore, you know, like they've got to make a real leap now. Do you know what I mean? They've got to take advantage of the fact they've got a lot of cash as soon as they can, because that's you're not going to be able to do that in future.
Mm-hmm. And does that definitely count towards the leagues, or is that just European competition though?
That's a good point. Yeah, no, but you know, you'd think you're all going to have to live within your means, surely.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah,
imagine having like a massively spending Championship.
Yeah,
like nobody could spend anything in the Premiership.
Yeah.
Pete.
Yes,
your hometown Hartlepool lost at home to Sheffield Wednesday,
5-0.
Explain
Mick
what happened.
It's Mick Wadsworth's fault.
Take responsibility.
When are you going to go in there and save that club?
We've lost. We've
financially.
Lost, it's 8 goals. They've lost in eight goals in 2 matches. That's not good. I mean, three were against Wigan.
You've got to
be
a Shearer, mate. You are Hartlepool's most famous son. You've got to go back there. And
I'm on the Wikipedia page as notable residence.
Are you really?
I am, yes. next to the canoe man.
Brilliant.
The guy
who faked his own death.
Panama.
Yeah.
Panama.
You haven't lived there for ages. How are you a notable resident?
Well, I don't know.
You haven't lived there for like 10 years.
All right.
Stop. No, you're not on Wikipedia.
You come from Portsmouth.
No, because Portsmouth have actually got decent people from there. So,
like who?
Charles Dickens.
All right.
He
did all his notable work on the question. Yeah.
Isambard Kingdom Brunel. Do you want me to continue?
Yeah, I want to make a bridge.
Examples from a different point.
These are up, right. Shakespeare wrote a lot of plays about, like, Italy and Greece and places like that, so he clearly had something very different in his head than Portsmouth. He never wrote a play about Portsmouth, did he? And also, Isambard Kingdom Brunel, he was building bridges.
I said Dickens.
Oh, did you say Dickens? Either way.
All books are the same.
Was Bleak House set in Portsmouth? I don't think so.
You haven't read it, so you wouldn't know.
I have, actually. That's the only one I've read.
Reminds you of your childhood. In Hartlepool.
Mr. Turvey Drop.
Rescue this. I'm looking at you.
I'm enjoying the show.
Hartlepool aren't doing very well.
No.
It's probably, it's a bit of a mess down there. I get reports from my mum every now and again.
It's weird because
Chris Town has been
in.
Rubbish.
As Pete just said, it's a bit of a mess down there. He tucked his shirt in, so I thought he was looking at his bits.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Sorry, I am going to have to rescue this, I think. let's go continental.
Yay.
Come on. It's time, you know, the leagues are they're up and running.
I'm pleased about that.
I do worry that they won't start again sometimes. We'll just have to fend for ourselves without football.
There's been a big loan signing on the continent, James, or Jim. Zlatan Ibrahimovic has gone to Milan for a season-long loan from Barcelona.
What a waste of pissing money. Everyone's just peeing money up the wall at the moment, aren't they?
I had a chat with two of the listeners, actually, I met in Edinburgh. They were called Simon and Liam, I believe, a lovely chap. So they were telling me that when Zlatan got married... someone put it to him in an interview. They said, "So, like, what did you get your wife a present? Did you get anything special?" And he said, "She has, she gets Zlatan."
Yeah,
brilliant.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
No. She has the present. They've got an option to buy him in the summer of 2011.
It's quite a small fee, isn't it, compared to what Barcelona's
24 million
well.
euros.
Yeah, that's about, what, 20 million?
Yeah, just like 20 million pounds, I think.
Of course, they bought him for, was it 40 million plus Samuel Eto'o? Which is an incredible transfer, really. Mm.
It's a good job they had such a good season last season, otherwise that would be looked at and sort of say, well, that was an incredible waste of money and they shouldn't have gone.
Barcelona, I love this. This is the difference between the two people involved here. Barcelona said with regards to the deal. They said the deal was done thanks to the collaboration of the player and the willingness of his agent. Now, I think that's an incredibly sarcastic comment because Ibrahimovic said, with regards to Guardiola, he said, the philosopher has kicked me out. I don't know what his problem with me was. Whenever I walked into a room, he walked out again. Maybe he was scared of me. The coach didn't want me. I will not waste any more time. And he went on to say, you need to talk to him. It's Guardiola. It's him who has the problem. I don't know what it is. I'm very happy because I'm going to Milan. And Ibrahimovic's agent said, you don't buy a Ferrari and just leave it in the garage.
Is that a more general tip for footballers everywhere?
Yeah.
It's not as if Ibrahimovic didn't play, though, did it? So maybe he just means that literally.
I just sort of have Ibra sort of like being the high school jock and Guardiola. He dresses quite preppy, doesn't he? Sort of geeky.
Yeah.
So he's sort of like...
I think he's quite well-dressed, Guardiola.
Yeah, but he wears sort of M&S grey jumpers quite a lot, doesn't he? So... I can imagine being pushed into some lockers by Ibra.
Yeah.
The Ferrari.
One thing that's worth mentioning is that now, so Ibrahimovic is going to have played for Inter, Juve and Milan. That's decent. Mm. I love a bit of that.
Yeah, that happens quite a bit though, doesn't it? It's sort of comparatively to how often it happens here.
With Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
It seems that Barca are willing to make a loss on him, which makes you wonder if they really are in the sort of financial dire straits that we're hearing about.
I think they are.
So maybe they're just going to wholesale clear out wherever they can.
I think they look at the books and go, God, we can't... Yeah, but we don't want him here though.
Yeah,
they really. I mean, that's obvious, isn't it? That they really don't want him there.
And they've got, and they've got their
man
as well.
They've got their man, David Villa.
Yeah,
it looks like that might free up Huntelaar to move on. And there's talk of him going to Spurs as well. He needs to move, Huntelaar. He needs to move. He's a good player and he needs to start playing games consistently.
I don't know. Would it not be better for him to knuckle down? Because he's been moving about quite a bit. He's always linked with places. And maybe it'd be good for him to actually stay at Milan and try and force his way into the team. Because he's obviously a good player. It's not like he's done nothing there. He's had flashes of really good
I think it all depends on Zlatan. Really,
indeed, yeah.
If Zlatan allows
him to play. You're right. No, he should move. He should
get out of Dodd.
Move or retire.
That's right. Well, before we go on to the start of the Premier League, last week Barcelona played Milan in a friendly. I quite like this. It's the Joan Gamper Trophy or the Juan. How would you say that? It's
Juan.
Juan. No. It's spelled Joan.
Yeah.
We'll go with that. Sod it. And it's named in honour of one of the club's founders. And it's just a one-off game, really, against a big team. Last year it was Man City, incidentally.
Okay.
Before the match, though, I thought this was a lovely touch. On the big screens at the Nou Camp, they played kind of like a little best-of clip. A montage of some of his stuff, and then to kind of honour their former player, and then he came out afterwards to salute the fans, because you forget what a magnificent player he was. In that game, Pipo Inzaghi scored an absolute peach of a volley.
It was a ballet dancer's volley. He just hung in the air with his arms thrust out wide and just caressed the ball with the laces of his left boot into the top corner.
You described it as sexual, didn't
it? It was a sexual goal.
Yeah. It was like he sort of deflected it like a mirror. He didn't really hit it.
Because
he was at full stretch, he couldn't have got that much sort of pace on it. But he just sort of deflected it, knowing exactly where it needed to be, and just the keeper just went, "Oh, that's not right."
He does have access to some sort of fountain of youth, Inzaghi. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, but Barcelona won the game on penalties.
Well, speaking of Barcelona, I've got an email here from Ali, who's currently in China, but I believe he's a friend of yours, Marcus. Give him a plug.
Ali, bloody good rep.
Yeah, good man. Never met him. No, I haven't.
He's also a friend of the man who writes our Russian football blogs.
Oh, okay, yeah. James Appel.
Which you will have a look at on footballramble.com.
Anyway, chaps, thought you might enjoy this not really suitable for publishing in my newsletter story about Beijing Barcelona.
This is a pre-season friendly.
It was. Being a pre-season friendly, the atmosphere was pretty relaxed on the whole, with lots of people cheering a bit for both sides. We were, however, sat a few blocks from the Barcelona fan club, which was mainly local Chinese people, but did appear to include a few Catalonians, obviously out there or living there or whatever. Partway through the second half, they started a chant and lots of the crowd joined in. Some nearby Beijing fans, unhappy that lots of Chinese people were cheering for the visitors rather than their local club, decided to respond by filling in the gaps, shouting "Jiabi, Jiabi," which roughly translated means "effing see." However, some of the Catalans, presumably thinking that the Beijingers were showing support for their not playing midfielder Xavi, stood up and started to applaud them. Obviously, some of the local Barcelona fans then told them what it meant, and they sat down again. No such luck, though, for the match reporter on the official Barca website. He or she reported afterwards that a number of fans started chanting Barca, Barca, to which others replied Madrid, Madrid. Either their local translator was embarrassed by the chanting and lied to the reporter about what the home fans were singing, or he or she just thought they'd take the opportunity to call Real effing C's. That's from Ali. Excellent email, Ali.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Brilliant. Well, yeah, that's Barcelona's pre-season. We talked about the cup. Their first game in the Primera Liga, they won 3-0 away to Racing.
Didn't Messi score like a brilliant goal in about 3 seconds?
That was about 2 minutes.
Like him, isn't it?
I was in the pub waiting for a couple of mates, and that was on the telly, and it kicked off, knocked it about a bit. Messi scored. I was like, that's it, they're going to win the league again.
It's going to be like this for just the next 9 minutes.
And talking of volleys, there's been a few good volleys. Iniesta scored a nice one in that game.
As did Berbatov as well for United.
Oh, yeah, great
volley. That was a huge S.
That was proper pro Evo volley stuff. Yeah.
Pete, it's been a week of volleys.
It has. Nani's set up for that goal was decent as well. Yeah, he had a great game.
He did. He picked him out.
Pulling it back.
It's good to see him playing well.
David Villa, of course, opened his account.
Excellent header. He's picked his spot. By the way, if anyone from Racing is listening, right, sort your marking out of the back. Because any team, Marcus, you'd have scored.
Would I?
Yeah, any one of us would have scored with that. The ball, it wasn't. Don't look at me when you say that.
You made the point he was disputing.
The thing is, it was one of those crosses.
You'd have been doing the marking.
I would have been organising.
Yep.
It wasn't even one of those crosses that's whipped in. It was floated over. And like, Villa was just standing there, like, looked around him. no one near him. Picked his spot, just headed it in the far corner. Yeah. It's his league debut as well, so it's good to get off the mark.
Real Madrid have already lost ground on Barcelona. Yeah, they drew 0-0 away to Mallorca.
Mourinho was so angry. Did you see him?
Yeah.
He was just running around shouting and screaming.
And Ronaldo and Diarra have picked up injuries from that game.
Oh, God.
On the funny thing about Mourinho at Madrid is that I was watching today this thing on Sky Sports, like a Champions League preview show or whatever, and it talks about Mourinho going to Madrid. And I just thought of what you were saying about him being really angry. I had that in my head. Because he walked down the tunnel at Madrid to the reporter, I guess when he'd been unveiled. And they asked him why he'd come here and stuff, and he said, "I've come to win La Liga." And the guy was like, "This season?" And he was like, "I think so, yes." I thought, yeah, it's not really going that well for you so far.
I said he told Benzema to get up earlier. He said, "I've got to start training at 12 o'clock instead of 11 o'clock because you're still in bed at 11 o'clock. I was really angry at him for not getting up
I can't earlier. Imagine Bruno will stick for standing for that, though.
No.
But their lineup was
late to start training, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what that is. But their lineup, God, Madrid's first 11, they should have won. But their first 11 was unbelievable.
They had a lot of chances.
Ozil played, Higuain played up front, sort of on it. It's like a weird sort of 4-5-1 formation from what I can make out. But I didn't see the entire game, so I couldn't comment more extensively than that.
A few little signings and whatnot from Spain and Italy. Luis Fabiano apparently signed an extension with Sevilla.
Mm.
There's been a lot of speculation there.
Bottled it, hasn't he?
Yeah.
David Trezeguet's joined Hercules.
Yeah.
In mythical adventures?
Yeah. Well, obviously,
Heracles didn't want him.
Hercules are. For don't know the Spanish team, obviously.
Small Spanish.
Yeah, team, yeah. But Trezeguet was given the big lick, saying it's a big move to England on the card, so that obviously fell through.
Apparently Milan, sorry, we talked about Milan earlier, they had a great start to the season as well. I think they won 4-0. They are. Talk about Rubinho maybe going there, Pete. Would you be up for that? Or would Rubinho be up for that? Nothing to do with you.
He doesn't know
it's all about the money.
Are you
it?
Is his agent?
He's a very nice man, from what I've heard, the from around Manchester. But
the closest thing Pete gets to Rubinho is a poster on the wall with Rubinho on it. You've written in Marco put on his head decent.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I can confirm this is actually
decent. Well,
and he's also drawn like a sort of robotic skull on Fabio Cannavaro's head and put Terminator.
Well, this is the 2010 World Cup.
I really should take that down, shouldn't I?
Yeah. Oh, leave it up. Like nostalgia.
Yeah. Why have you, is that my name you've put on one of the players?
Yeah, he's basically drawn impressions of us over the top of stickers of other players. Pete,
who's the player? Who's your Chilean player?
Well, Pete's made himself David Beckham.
Yeah. I'm the most Beckham-esque guy. I've got style, I've got joie de vivre, I've got
anything else that doesn't exist?
Muscles. Muscles till Tuesday, I've got.
Learning difficulties.
It's already Monday.
Something else Pete's done is he's cut out sort of eyes and mouths and things from other stickers and stuck them onto faces on different
stickers. It's like Science of the Lamps.
Harrowing.
Yeah. Have you seen the film The Bodyguard? It's a bit like that.
Terrifying. Right, let's go to Germany. Steve McLaren and Wolfsburg, they were 3-1 up at half time. They were 3-0 up.
They bottled it, didn't they?
And then they lost 4-3. What a comeback.
He's still doing his Dutch accent as well. He's not even moved to a German one.
That's going
to
rub him up the wrong way.
They were 3-0 up after half an hour, weren't they? It's Mainz.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And they lost 4-3. Crazy. German league's great. I watched a bit of Stuttgart Dortmund.
Oh, yeah.
And Dortmund hammered them.
Yeah.
They hammered them. They were 3-0 up at half time away as well.
I want to watch more German football this year.
Yeah.
Is there a lot more European football kicking around the schedules at the moment?
Can you all encourage me to do that?
Well, Footy Tube's really good for that, actually, mate. Because the Bayern Munich channel is actually really funny because they've got, we've mentioned him before, but this sort of English commentator, but he speaks in this really sort of Germanic strange way.
Involved. Munich lost to Kaiserslautern.
They did, yeah.
2 goals in 60 seconds, I think it was, or a minute, Pete.
And there was a massive result at Leverkusen as well, wasn't
there? Oh, my goodness. Mönchengladbach went to Leverkusen and won 6-3.
Good pronunciation there.
Yeah, thanks. Or Mönchengladbach.
I would say Mönchengladbach. That's a rival.
I've said this joke before, I'm going to say it again. Who's the most unpopular man at Borussia Mönchengladbach matches?
You.
I've never been. The man who says, give me a B. It's not bad, is it?
Yes.
I don't understand it, really.
No.
So it's hard to spell.
Yeah, you would take ages to spell it, wouldn't
you? Get through it, yeah.
Hanover have signed DeMarcus Beasley.
Which is funnier than that joke.
Thanks. Why?
No, I think Beasley's an alright player. Yeah, I do. I agree.
Yeah, get off his back.
Has he got his own jewellery range?
I certainly hope so, James.
I don't know.
I think it's something like that.
I'm tired.
There's your analysis of him as a player.
There you go.
He's got his own jewellery range. What more do you need to know?
Bling.
Yeah, so a great start to the Bundesliga campaign. Well, not for Leverkusen. Ballack was taken off after an hour, apparently.
He's probably not fit yet.
Yeah, well, there we are. Let's
he's probably so tired, actually, from playing the best league in the world. Yeah. He just needed a bit of a break.
And probably emotionally sort of quite drained after leaving the most exciting league the world's ever known.
Well, let's go to the second most exciting league in the world, the MLS. Thierry Henry scored his first goal in a win for the New York Red Bulls.
Good.
First goal in the league.
First goal in the league, yeah.
So, yeah. There we are. Just keeping tabs on the man.
He also scored against Spurs, didn't he?
Yeah,
I've got an email about Spurs.
Hey!
Tenuous.
Superbly tenuous. James.
I don't even know what my email's about. I better read it while he reads this. What's mine about that I can link in tenuously?
James.
Hey there, Ramblers.
Hello.
You may have remembered my email about the Spurs conundrum. Well, here is an update. This is, of course, the guy...
Kevin Carruthers. Kevin Carruthers. Not his real name.
Yes, no, not his real name.
But he has to remain anonymous.
This is the guy...
Sorry.
This is the guy whose boss, for some reason, thinks he's a supporter of Spurs and he's been going along with it for too long.
Oh, that was, I love that guy.
But he's had numerous trips to Old Trafford because of this. Yes. Because that's when Spurs play Man United.
Yes, indeed. I have, of course, got my place booked for the game at Old Trafford in October, but as a way of marketing and entertaining clients, my boss has bought 4 season tickets at Fulham, Arsenal and Chelsea this year, and he assures me that because I'm a huge Spurs fan, my seat for all the games against these teams is confirmed. Oh joy, at least I don't have to travel too far. This has gone far too deep now. Suggestions on a postcard of how to avoid this from getting even more out of hand. Regards, Kevin Carruthers. I love that he's we assigned
he's
him that
name.
He's signed that,
taking it on. That's great.
Seriously, Kevin, kill yourself.
I would sort of manufacture him being bashed on the head somehow, like picking something off a high shelf, possibly. Hits him on the head. Got complete memory loss. He remembers how to do his job and stuff. Yeah. Right? Forgets which team. But forgets which team he supports.
Because he is a Leeds fan.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can sort of understand it. He's probably quite enjoying it.
I think he should turn up to work like on a mufti day or something with a Leeds kit.
What the hell is a mufti day?
Yeah,
that's what it's like a non-uniform day.
Thank you, Luke.
Mufti day. Why do you say non-uniform? What the fuck is mufti day? If you don't mind my language.
It stood for something.
I do mind your language. And it's a very well-known phrase.
Mufti.
Yeah, everybody knows that in the Great British Isles.
Only because up north they're all so poor they haven't got any other clothes.
Oh,
sounds like it means lesbian.
No, it doesn't. Stop and that. Don't lower the tone.
Go back to Edinburgh. Anyway, if it's maybe on a Friday, they have a dress down day or something, he should turn up in a Leeds kit, and the boss would be like, what are you doing? He'd be like, oh crap, I just saw a white kit, I bought it at Leeds. Oh, bollocks, I better start supporting them.
Rubbish. No, it will never work.
Not even worth talking about mufties.
It's a mufti idea.
Seriously, Kevin Carruthers, keep us posted.
Keep us mufti.
Yeah. Hang in there, mate. Yeah. It's going to be all right.
Shall I bash out my email Email City? Take me down to Email City! This is
where the words are typed and the PSs are unnecessary.
Yeah. Oh. Good. Well, this one doesn't have a PS, thank Christ. This is from John. John from Glasgow. It's worth remembering the word Glasgow. Okay. Ramblefoss Ho. Following on from James Knight's excellent Paul Ince email last week, I thought I'd latch shamelessly onto the encounters with odious footballers theme thusly.
This is the Paul Ince email when they were trying to get his autograph. He was in a restaurant and they called him prick.
No, it was a hotel. It was in a hotel. They were bantering him in a hotel.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I mean, it was last week.
Yeah. It was for James's benefit, not.
Well, we're not doing the show for James, are we?
No.
He left us in our hour of need, our month of need. Towards the end of last season, my university made the inspired call of laying on a free bar, a well which ran dry in the late evening after advantage had been thoroughly taken. Mm. A handful of chums and I then made our way to one of Glasgow's slightly downmarket night spots to continue our day of merriment. Imagine our surprise when a dozen or so identically dressed navy blue suits with open neck white shirts, if you're curious, members of the Rangers squad appeared, fresh from their latest title triumph. Being a lifelong Aberdeen fan, I felt I'd be letting my hometown down by not at least indicating my displeasure at their existence. But like Jameson last week, was struggling to capture this feeling in any sort of witty put down in my alcohol-fueled state of clumsiness. After making a less than subtle reference to the Charlie Mulgrew incident of last year, which saw the gentleman in question fall dramatically to the floor, having not been touched by the hapless Don's left back, to none other than Kyle Lafferty, Luke's favourite, I felt I had missed my chance and would have to leave without the forces of evil receiving their comeuppance. as he merely laughed it off. I think my bottle went after finding out that Lafferty was much bigger than I thought.
He's a big fella, Lafferty.
He's massive.
Staggering, a sack of shit, mind.
Staggering out at closing time, however, presented me the sight of alleged love rat and all round bad egg, Alan McGregor.
Alan McGregor.
Here, look, lads, I slurred at my companions, desperate for reaction. It's only Scotland's number three. Hardly a grave or intelligent insult, but seemingly it was enough. What does that make you then, eh? Reported an inebriated McGregor. Scotland's number 103? This riposte made my mates and I fall about laughing at what must be the footballing comeback equivalent of, I know you are, but what am I? And in my blurred mind, the scales of soccer justice had been righted. To this day, my status as Scotland's 103rd best goalkeeper remains unchallenged. John, Glasgow.
I think that's a good comeback from McGregor.
I think that's pretty good.
It's just weirdly specific.
Well, no, because he said Scotland's number three. What does that make you? And Scotland's 103. Yeah, I'm better than you.
It's not big enough.
I'd take that.
It's not a thousandth.
Yeah. Even that's still
very
good.
Harder to say, but worth it.
I'm 100 goalkeepers better than you. So, I mean, how many's in a league? That's only
many.
Five divisions for...
That makes him like a decent second division player.
Yeah. What does that make you?
Good
catch
point.
This.
Now, the leagues are smaller in Scotland, remember?
Yeah. Well, still.
Oh, your brain's smaller in Scotland.
Technically, it was, because when I moved down here, I was 16.
Dogs
There's been so much more education.
Dogs tend to be.
A-levels and a degree later. You're spot on there, Petey.
Hey, there
spot
we
on
go.
There, Petey. Before we go on to the profile, we have to say that Francisco Varayo, the Argentinian who was the longest surviving person to have participated in the first ever World Cup and also played in the final, has died recently, aged 100. He was also Boca Juniors' record goal scorer. Until, as predicted by him, Martin Palermo overtook his record in 2009.
It's lovely that he lived to see that, because obviously it was a positive thing for him. For
he said
Palermo
it was going to happen.
He wanted it
that's
to happen
right.
by the sounds of it, and it's nice that he got sort of honoured recently. Stuff, so.
He got to 100.
Yeah.
So,
it's a great knock.
Yeah. It's a good innings.
You know.
So, well done.
Good stuff.
It's a real giant of the game.
Stuff,
a real giant of the game, and in my opinion, a player that maybe because of the football. Is football tends to be much more biased towards Europeans.
Yeah.
He doesn't really get the credit he deserves. I think it's definitely worth mentioning.
It's weird to think that the first World Cup ever, everyone who played in it's no longer with us.
Funny thing, time. wasn't it? Yeah.
1930.
Yeah, it was 1930.
Yeah, yeah.
I remembered with my brain.
Lovely chaps and chapesses, it's profile time. Have you missed this, James?
I have, I really have missed this.
Good. Jürgen Klinsmann. Wow.
Oh, good.
Wowzers.
Heavyweight.
Yeah.
Definitely. Decent.
Oh, yeah.
In line for the USA job at the moment, I think.
Is he?
Yeah. Because he lived there, basically, isn't it? That seems to be the link.
He likes it over there.
He was born on the 30th of July, 1964.
3 years before the Summer of Love.
That's
Van
right.
Der Spenvers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Woo! Good. One of the best German strikers ever.
Mm. Yeah.
One of the... I think... Would it be outrageous to say one of the best strikers in the modern era? Or is that too big, you think?
It's definitely up there.
I mean, I think it's just...
Top 103, wasn't it?
Top 103. Yeah,
he was lethal. He was... I mean, when he signed... I can remember you come onto this. When he signed for Spurs, it was like, whoa, brilliant.
Yeah. You know. Do you know what his nickname is? Or was?
Go on.
The Golden Bomber.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, obviously... blonde hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
terrorist.
Unconfirmed.
Goal scoring terrorist.
Unconfirmed terrorist, Jürgen Klinsmann.
Well, obviously Müller was the bomber, wasn't
he? That's right, yeah.
Reference to that as well.
He started playing football at a very young age, as we all do. And apparently, when he was 8 years old, he was playing for a team, and he played every position, including goalkeeper.
Wow.
Nice.
In the same game.
That would be amazing. Superb. Yeah, on his own.
Running around with a pair of gloves on. He began playing football in his hometown of Göppingen, and just scored lots of goals wherever he went and impressed, quite frankly. From 74 till 78, he played for Geislingen, and he scored over 250 goals spread out over 4 years.
Not bad.
Lots.
They don't count, though, Pelé, if you're listening.
No, that's right. Apparently, and I think this needs to be said, his family owns a bakery and operates a bakery. And even though he signed for a professional contract when he was 16, he still studied to be a baker.
Studied? What did you have to study to be a baker?
Well, just like, you know, bread.
Sure, you
stuff.
Just pick it up.
There is the blonde hair in my bagel. I did not ask for this.
Let's knock these on the head now.
They speak German.
Yeah.
In a German accent.
Yeah, that's right.
Surely the studying to be a baker, studying in inverted commas, is just like, well, just watch how I do it.
Yeah.
There you go, now do it.
That's what he did.
Yeah. Do you know why the baker had brown hands?
Yes, I do. It's a good joke, this. I'm going to allow it to be told.
Because he needed a poo.
Excellent.
Good stuff.
Anyway, back to Klinsmann.
More jokes.
No more jokes ever again. Yeah. He's tired of jokes
he
now.
He signed for Stuttgart Kickers when he was 16, who were a second division Bundesliga side at the time.
Sound like a Nazzle team.
Yeah.
They do, yeah.
Why not? And he began to get noticed by some of the big boys after a couple of seasons with them. And he signed for Stuttgart, the big team. He had, I think, 5 seasons for them. Kind of a 1-in-2 goal scoring ratio he had for them.
Which is what we look for.
That's right.
Yeah.
He helped them reach the German Cup Final and the UEFA Cup Final in 1989, where they were beaten by Napoli and Diego Maradona.
I remember that.
In 1988, the year before that, he was top scorer in the Bundesliga and was named Player of the Year in Germany. This obviously got him attracted to some of the big clubs in Europe.
Inter. Yeah.
For the start of the 89-90 season, he joined. There was Andres Bremer and Lothar Matthäus Internationale in Milan.
That was a great era because the Inter had the three Germans.
That's right.
And Milan had the three Dutch.
Yeah.
So it was like a bit of a. And then obviously it all came to a head in the World Cup in 1990.
And in that stadium, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
In the San Siro.
Lovely little narrative.
Oh, it's a lovely little subplot, James.
You're a bastard for a subplot.
I am, I really am. I look for a subplot. If there's a game happening,
yeah.
And I think, oh, it's a bit of an unexplored game.
World Cup 90 then. Great performance. performances from Klinsmann. 3 goals in the tournament, and he obviously won it. A great diving header against possibly Yugoslavia.
An awful dive in the final to get a penalty.
No, it wasn't him who went down for the penalty.
I thought it was.
He got Pedro Monzon sent off.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, which was an awful dive.
Yeah. I hope we're going to come on to this aspect of his character.
No, we're ignoring it. Don't worry, you'll have your chance.
Whitewash it all.
Yeah, so yeah, he was superb in that German side of the...
Him and Voller up front was super, absolutely sensational.
Well, him and Voller played also up front in World Cup 94, which we'll come on very briefly in a moment. So after World Cup 90, of course, they won the tournament and he was superb. He went to play for Arsene Wenger at Monaco. Hmm. And he didn't win anything there of massive note, but they did get to the semi-finals of the Champions League, which I remember him... They got beaten off Milan, I think it was. Hmm. And then, of course, World Cup 94, he scored 5 goals, including a brilliant one against South Korea. The ball's played into him in the box. He teed himself up with his... Right foot,
yeah,
and then swung
left
his left
shoulder.
Yeah,
oh, delicious. That's one of my favourite goals.
And Spurs signed him off the back of that.
They did, yeah. But World Cup 94, him and Rudi Völler up front. And I've said it before, and by jingo, I'm going to say it again. It was at that moment when they linked against Belgium, which produced Barry Davies to say one of my favourite pieces of commentary ever. It's an early kickoff here, and some of the defenders are still having breakfast.
It's worse than
Germany against Belgium when Völler and Klinsmann took them apart. And as you say, look, off the back of that, the Spurs signed
because it was
after the World Cup under Ozzy Ardiles.
They did, and it was. I mean, I will stick my neck out and say that he was the last genuinely world class, like top draw player that Spurs signed. They've not signed a player of that magnitude since then, in
do you
my
mean
opinion.
Reputation wise,
just his status in the world game. Yeah. I suppose I do. Yeah,
he was in the top five or six.
Yeah, he was.
One could maybe someone like David Ginola, but it wasn't the same. I don't know what you're saying.
Well, Ginola never reached those heights at international level. Absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah. But what was amazing though when they signed him was, you know, at the time, as we've said before, that England they used to have. A few of the big names would kind of finish off their career in England. Yeah. Ruud Gullit, we've often talked about before. Klinsmann was 30, I think he was, at Spurs. He was still in his peak.
Yeah.
And still a great player. So
he banged him in as well. He hit the ground running.
But of course... he had to overturn their perception of him because they thought he was a diver, which of course he was. I mean, we can't ignore that. He was a horrific diver.
Yeah.
Like swan diving, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He wouldn't even attempt to really make it look like he'd been fouled. It was just like, whoa, he's
gone over.
I
remember it being like a whole new brand of diving.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
But his celebration was a dive as well.
Well, this is it.
He's a big influence on Robert Pires, wasn't it, basically?
But so he came to England. He only stayed a year.
Yeah.
And I think actually everybody in this country, or the most people, really rate and really like Klinsmann.
Oh, I like him now as well. I think he's a good pundit.
He had 12 spells at Spurs, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But before that, I'm saying, before he came, he's the guy who Germany, he was a part of the German side in 1990. Mm. And, you know, he signed for Spurs. He was a diver. People didn't like him. In fact, he was German as well. And he totally won us all over, I think. As you say, Pete, against Sheffield Wednesday, I think it was his debut, league debut for Spurs, towards the end of the game, they won 4-3, and he scored a great header, and he did the celebration, which is now called the Klinsmann dive.
Yeah.
I mean, that celebration, anybody in this country sees that dive celebration where you slide on your chest after scoring. A Klinsmann.
Have I ever detailed on the podcast how Jürgen Klinsmann was directly responsible for me breaking my elbow?
Tell us.
The old scar there, was easy to see there.
You did it on AstroTurf, did you?
No, I was playing on Burn Valley and Hartlepool, scored a goal, tried to do a Klinsmann dive, basically wussed out of it at the last minute and put my arms out.
Oh, you've got to be committed.
My arm went the wrong way, and that bit of elbow there started floating down my arm.
Ooh.
And the woman...
Can that happen?
The bone lady in the North East said, that's the weirdest thing. She said that's the weirdest injury I've ever seen. Like, she'd never seen that part of the elbow fall off.
It's an odd scar.
In my head, he's gone over on like a round boat and a misty sort of onto an island. Are you the bone lady? Why I am you? Cross me palm with Silvers.
She was, so he directly made me break my elbow.
It's his fault.
Yeah.
And that's why he's going in.
Yeah. Not a applause for a broken elbow.
Anybody who influences Pete Donaldson breaking bones gets into the D-Way. Yeah.
It's one of those old laws that hasn't been repealed yet.
It's a bylaw. Hartlepool bylaw. He scored 29 29 goals in all competitions for Spurs that season, was named Football Writers Player of the Year. Mm.
It's weird that
I think that was the last season to date Spurs finished above Arsenal in the table.
Because I remember him being, his first spell being a lot longer.
I was about to say exactly that.
Just one season. Again, it shows the impact. You know, he has a brilliant celebration named after him. He scores a lot of goals. Football Rights Player of the Year, for crying out loud.
I did it right in the Spurs Cup
finished
seventh, well.
FA Cup semi-final. Yeah. And then off he went to Bayern Munich after that.
I don't really... I remember being quite incredulous. I didn't understand why he left.
It was odd that he went so quickly.
After such an impact.
I remember
made.
Alan Sugar having a bit of a pop. When he left.
Really?
Yeah, can you believe it?
It's Lord Sugar, if you don't mind.
Okay. So... spoonful of. Yeah. He joined Bayern Munich after that, and
that's a big draw. Though. I mean, Munich are teams in Germany.
So. He won the UEFA Cup with them in '96 and the Bundesliga.
It almost seems that he sort of went to Tottenham to put himself in the shop window.
He also won the Bundesliga in '96-'97. Hey, after that, he went to Sampdoria. Didn't do too well there. Yeah. I remember on Footballer Italia, James Richardson's once saying, after the break, I'm meeting a hot blonde who wants to score. It's Jürgen Klinsmann.
Nice.
And then he went back to Spurs on loan in '98, where he put in a lot of good performances. 9 goals in 15 appearances, although 4 of them did come against Wimbledon, I think. Away.
It was on loan, wasn't it? He went back there.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a dangerous one, that, going back to it. Because when Fowler did it, it didn't really sort of work out.
Fowler did okay.
Okay, though.
I think Klinsmann was a little bit more successful.
You're talking about a player that... Oh, he was, but you're talking about with Fowler, you're talking about a player they used to call God.
Yeah. No, he called himself that.
No, I think they did as well. They held him... you speak to a Liverpool fan about how much they rate Robbie Fowler.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Unbelievably so
the
highly.
Ugliest God in the world.
World Cup 98, he scored 3 goals. They got the quarterfinals that year. That was a much older team. Oh, sorry, we've forgotten the Euro 96, of course, where they won. They came to England and won. He was brilliant that tournament. There's a goal he scored against... Now, were they? Was it Russia, maybe? Or the CIS? No, CIS was in 92. Anyway, he got the ball, turned the defender, edge of the box... Could have taken it further in, outside of the right boot, into the top corner. Beautiful.
He's won a lot of things.
Scores. Do you know what the great thing about Klinsmann is? He scored all sorts of goals.
Yeah,
headers.
Yeah.
He's a bastard for a volley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spectacular goals, one on ones, tap ins, the lot.
Quite a slight guy as well.
Yeah,
so he's just. Seems odd that he had strength.
Dare I even say almost like the complete forward, because he could play off a front man and come and get the ball. He could be on the shoulder of the last man, poacher.
Absolute handful.
Yeah. Him and Vola were devastating up front together.
Yeah,
in World Cup 90 particularly, and 94.
Really. Yeah. In 98 he did right, but he retired straight after 98. Yeah. Walking out of the World Cup. Zidane-esque.
He was like 34 by then, I think 34, 35.
Yeah. He was the first ever player to score in 3 different European championships in 88, 92 and 96. 3 other players have done that: Vladimir Smica, Thierry Henry and Nuno Gomes, and he's the first player ever to score at least 3 goals in each in 3 different World Cups. Later he was joined by Ronaldo of Brazil. 3rd highest goal scorer for Germany at World Cups and in total.
Got a lot under his belt.
Yeah.
Half the battle is staying fit with players like that, though, isn't it?
It's great footballing brain, though.
Yeah.
And that's important for longevity and stuff like that as well. Because if you're just going to be a player who doesn't think about the game much, you won't last much longer, because you won't be able to adapt, you won't be able to change formation or position or whatever.
I mean, he had great bursts of pace and great acceleration, wasn't all about that.
No, it wasn't.
You know, the fantastic player he was. So he retired in 98, however... whilst he was living in California, he was persuaded to come out of retirement in 2003. And he played under a different name, like a stage name, Jay Gopingen, which is the name of the town.
Oh, Gopingen is where he's from. Yeah.
I was hoping it was from a computer game, you know, where they got the right, so they sort of basically give a similar
like
name.
Like Central Soccer.
Fonzman.
I was hoping it'd be something like that. Showtime Chapowski or something. Like, Gopingen Lights.
Billy Big Time.
Yeah.
He played for Orange County Blue Star.
Alvin Rocket.
And
Barry Gold.
Yeah. Missile.
Barry Gold's been brilliant.
Yeah, in the American Premier Development League.
Nice.
So not top draw. He was 39 though, and he scored 5 goals in 8 games for them.
What division? What league was it?
The American Premier Development League.
Abdul.
Paul Abdul.
Yeah, sponsored by Paul Abdul. And then, of course, became the Germany national coach in 2004.
He got a bit of stick about that, didn't he?
Well, he was commuting from California.
Yeah. How long were you peep? 8-9 hours.
Days.
California. Put the cones
That's right.
Very good, Pete. Very good.
It's right. I've got Socrates in my assistant. Would be fine.
Yeah, that's right.
Put the cones out.
He actually revamped the management of the national team straight away when he got in there, and he said that he wasn't going to pick players on reputation. It was a lot of youth. He very youth orientated, old Klinsmann, when it came to being a manager, because this was after the disastrous Euro 2004 showing.
Yeah.
So he brought a freshness, I think we can all agree. Although they didn't have a great build up to the World Cup. There was that time where they lost 4-1 to Italy, and all the Germans were thinking,
piping
crap
up.
We're hosting the cup and we're going to be absolutely humiliated, you know. And he was very offensive tactical manager, and they and that a lot of
fucking score
Keegan.
And so although I think we can all agree that probably the best thing he did as Germany manager was to put Big Jens in number one in goal instead of Oliver Kahn.
A statement of intent.
That's right.
There was a few.
Well, they got to the semi, which isn't terrible.
They did. But who would have thought, because before the tournament they were getting a lot of stick, and people were saying this is ridiculous, he's commuting from California, he's messing around, he's not picking certain players.
I agree with them, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Make an effort.
They started off with a 4-2 win against Costa Rica.
It's not like he doesn't speak the bloody language.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He started off with a 4-2 win against Costa Rica, which was a very entertaining game, but they looked poor at the back, Germany, and you thought, hang on a minute here, they're going to struggle.
I remember them just being quite old.
Not in that tournament.
Are they not old and slow?
Not in that tournament, no. Hmm. He brought in players like Schweinsteiger.
Oh, of course he did, yeah. Sorry.
You missed that.
I have, yeah.
That's exactly what I said. That he put in, he brought a freshness, he brought in the youth and did away with it.
Sometimes my memory lets me down.
Clearly.
Memory of about 2 seconds ago when you said it.
Yeah. I also called you an arse.
Yeah.
remember that. Who would have thought they'd have finished third after that game, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely right.
So after the tournament where Germany were really good, there was a lot of support, public support for Klinsmann to
fickle
to carry
the fickle
on.
Germans,
even awarded the Federal Cross of Merit in Germany.
Yeah. Did he accept it in California? Sorry, I can't be here on a video screen.
You couldn't send me a Purple Heart instead.
but
he played a sort of high tempo attacking style, and he encouraged all the international sides, all the different age groups, to play that from the under 17s upwards. And when Germany reached the 2008 European Championship final in Austria under Yogi Love. The federal head, Theo Schweinsteiger, who Klinsmann was sitting alongside at the match, he said Jürgen played an enormous part in the development of this team. It was also his final. And in 2009, Germany won European youth titles at under 17, under 19 and under 21 levels.
Wow.
And a lot of that was attributed to Klinsmann's
implementation.
That's the word I was searching around for.
Yeah, even
the 2010 team, people say, were very influenced by Klinsmann's development programme.
But those youth team results, there has been a lot more. There was a massive overhaul of German football, which Klinsmann was a part of, but there was a lot more to it than that, though.
Sure.
I'm not taking anything away from him. It's his profile. It's not the time or place. I'm just saying there's more to it.
He was a huge part of that, and he's a worthy entrant to the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Agreed.
Here he comes.
Dive in.
Sliding in, Jürgen the German.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the football ramble for this week. Hope you've had a lovely time. If you'd like to get in touch, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
Lovely to have you back.
Lovely to be back.
We're all off
for a Klinsmann dive.
Yay!
Oh, Pete just slipped and hit his face.
And there goes the other L, mate.
Headphones
out. Oh, you fucking idiot.
Well, don't leave them out. That's twice somebody's nearly hit your headphones.
I didn't know you were going to do a dive on them, did I?
Put them in your bag.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.